Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
And I know I said I wouldn't talk about this team again. This is how bad it is. The Jets don't even want to run the risk of putting them out there against the Dolphins. And so it's Joe Flacco again. And it is just one way to basically hammer home the point that it's another lost season for the New York Jets.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Three-time Super Bowl champion Matt Light. Three-time NBA champion Dwayne Wade. Plus co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Thrilled to be here in Los Angeles, California on NBC Sports on Peacock, NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 85. We say hello to our terrestrial radio affiliate listeners on a station smart enough to have the Rich Eisen Show. We say hello to our listeners streaming us on Odyssey, and then, of course, to our viewers on our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. When it's all over and said and done, you can check out our show here or watch us re-aired on NBC Sports on Peacock. You can also please check us out through our podcast, our Cumulus podcast network podcast that's out every single day wherever you can get your audio on demand. Chris Brockman, good to see you over there. How are you?
To be seen.
Good to see you.
Hey, what's up? Great to be seen.
Hold on a minute. Let's give Mike a mulligan. Hey, Chris Brockman, how are you? Good to see you.
Hey, Rich. Great to see you.
Good to see you. You don't trust him to say something? You got to keep. You got to kill his microphone.
But TJ's eye had closed. TJ, you would not have
heard. Hello, TJ Jefferson.
Brockman,
how are you?
We work it out together.
You know, Rich, I got my Sincere McCormick shirt on today.
Yes, you do. And you got
and I'm rocking my. You know, it's like in the vein of Run DMC. So, you know, I got, like, the Run DMC hat. I got the glasses. I got the three-finger ring. I should have rocked the Adidas, but you only rock Jordan. So.
For UT San Antonio's finest, Sincere McCormick.
So, shout out to Sincere McCormick, our Gorilla Glue.
Winner from 2 weeks ago. You said you'd get his shirt. Now, there you are.
There it is.
Rocking your shirt. And this is good time stuff, man, with Week 11 kicking off tonight. It's getting late early, isn't it?
As in dark?
It's Week 11. It's Week 11 in the NFL. Starting tonight, the New England Patriots taking on the Atlanta Falcons. And we have got ourselves a crucial three-week period, or because the Patriots kick things off tonight, they will be playing three games in the next 17 days, and they are what we would call huge for a team that came in this season with a rookie quarterback and a whole bunch of free agents trying to figure out the Patriot way, doing your job, all sorts of business like that. And the New England Patriots lost their first game. They had their get-right game against the Jets and then lost the next couple and started out 1-3. They started out 2-4. That's how they started off. They lost four of their first six, but their third loss, the one at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady, was the okay. That was the okay. All right. We see you. We see you. You almost pulled it off, but, you know, Tom came home and it was a weird game. It was a, you know, a homecoming slash, you know, renewing acquaintances, also reliving the divorce, you know, and it was a weird weekend, but the Patriots had a kick lined up to win that thing. you know, Brady could have obviously had enough time on the clock to win it, but it was that game, then going to Houston and stumbling in that game, but still coming out with the win, and then it was the game against the Dallas Cowboys that overtime took place in, and Dallas won it, and the Patriots haven't lost since. Now, I have been pounding this table ever since the Patriots pounded the Jets and followed that up with a win up the road in SoFi Stadium on Halloween. And I was right there. My whole family was there. Took the kids to see their favorite NFL team, Susie's favorite NFL team. They saw it, and I saw what I saw. I saw a playoff team. I saw a team that was once again opportunistic on defense with a pick six to seal things, and then situationally smart football and a quarterback that was playing within the construct of the offense and making plays, and a coach who's coaching them all up. And I'm like, that's a playoff team. And then we saw what the follow-up was to that. Most recently, a pounding of the Cleveland Browns. And they've won four in a row. And I've seen the responses locally from Boston, because my brother-in-law Scott tells me everything that they're saying on the radio. And, you know, and it's Scott. Just like national media talking. Like one guy from Barstool said it was bourbon for the soul, right?
Yeah, yep.
I saw that one.
Yep.
But I also saw the typical Boston stuff, which is, you know, national TV guy, radio guy, overrates our home team that we love to crap on, so please listen to us every day. I see it and hear it. But
talking.
This is a playoff team. This is a playoff team.
Let's go.
And I have been pounding the desk to say, if you do not believe that they're a contender now, you just don't want to believe it, what you're seeing. Tonight, though, is where rubber begins to meet the road. Short week game on the road. Short Falcons have been up and down, and they just got pounded by the Cowboys. And it does play into the other things that I'm hearing from Boston, as well as on my Twitter feed from a lot of people who are like, hey, who have they beaten? Again, put up their schedule one more time. Who have they beaten? Jets, Chargers, at Carolina, where this was a Sam Darnold seeing ghosts game. They knocked him out. Actually, you could say that this was another – this was a solid that they did for Cam. If they did him dirty, if you think they did him dirty during the summer by releasing him and just going straight with Mac Jones, I guess they did him a solid by knocking Darnold out for several weeks and got Carolina to call him.
Yeah, right.
They made him a free agent and then got him a job, essentially. And then Cleveland, they pound them. Who have they beat? And tonight, even if they beat the Patriots beat the Falcons, which I do believe they will tonight on week 11 on the triple cast, who have they beaten?
I think that's kind of fair to ask that question.
I hear it, but you still have to beat the teams in front of you. And even if it's who have they beaten? It's the NFL. These are grown-ass men who want to put food on the table, who have jobs to continue and try and hold on to and win, maybe. Who have they beaten? Jacksonville beat the Bills, right? Denver beats Dallas. How many times do you see those things happen to other teams? But it hasn't happened to the Patriots in over a month, period, losing it all. And their last two losses were against the defending Super Bowl champs that brought Brady into their house. All sorts of stuff going on. And a lot of people thinking the one reliable NFC team that's out there amongst a lot of up and down great teams or teams with great records, Dallas. But the two after that, that's it. Win tonight, New England would take a 5-game winning streak into their home contest against Tennessee, which we're assuming will take a 7-game winning streak into that game because they're taking on the Houston Texans this weekend, Tennessee. And then they're at Buffalo on a Monday night. Two of their next three games will be the entire country sitting down tonight to watch against Atlanta. And then after their huge home game against the current AFC leaders, and Tennessee will be that going into that game, even if they lose somehow against Houston, they've got a game and a half lead on Baltimore. And New England. Yep, 6-win teams and the Chiefs. But then there's that game at Buffalo on a Monday night. Here we go. Next 3 weeks, next 17 days, starting from tonight, is when we we'll find out what I believe is going to be the case. Patriots are a team to be reckoned with now. Now. Then again, Atlanta could do the Jekyll and Hyde thing that we've seen from them. check out Atlanta's record. Check out Atlanta's schedule. I mean, that home, I remember after week one, I said the worst loss of week one was Atlanta's at home to Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, 32-6. It was like, what was that? They go to Tampa and they did their usual thing against Tampa, which is play them tough. And then Brady said, screw this, and then scored, I do believe, the last four touchdowns unanswered. A home win against the Giants that was close. A loss on the road to the Washington football team. They're 1-3, but they win their next two. They win their London game against the Jets. Kyle Pitts finally got in the end zone in that one. On a bye week, they come back and they beat Miami in a crazy one where that was too close for comfort. Carolina, they lose that one at home. And that was close. They could have won that one. And then they're at New Orleans. They had an 18-point lead in that one. And the Saints came back. But Matt Ryan went up top to Cordarrelle Patterson. Set up coup for the game winner. They won at New Orleans, only to get a 40-point loss handed to them at Dallas. Shrug emoji. Cordarrelle Patterson's a game-time decision tonight. Will he play against the team that was the first one to kind of figure out he can do more things than just catch the football? Now that he was their lead running back. He was their red zone running back for a while in New England.
Sure was.
If he doesn't go tonight, I think that's a wrap. Even if he does go tonight, I mean, he couldn't finish the game in Dallas. Maybe it was just like he's dinged up. What do we need him for? We're getting our ass kicked. I don't know what it was like. We'll see. Big game time decision tonight for Atlanta, which needs this football game. Mm-hmm. And it leads into our poll question over there. Christopher, have at it right there. At Rich Eisen Show is our poll question for today.
Yeah, Rich, what did we decide on the phrasing of this? Is it Jekyll and Hyde team? Or
no,
is
which
it
one is going to turn it around?
Yeah. So which of these kind of shrug emoji teams do you believe most will turn it around? Let's go Vikings, Browns, the Falcons obviously play tonight, and the Colts.
I know our pre-show conversation said, do we include the 49ers in this or do we not? And I think it's wise to leave them out because I think recency bias would definitely lend itself because that was the stuff. As I came on the air on Tuesday morning and established, that's the 49ers stuff right there. Browns don't have Nick Chubb this weekend. Looks like it's the D'Ernest Johnson show again against the Lions team coming off of a tie, the high of a tie. And then there's the Colts who were on Hard Knocks last night, the first ever mid-season edition of Hard Knocks last night. I got that on the old DVR. I did not see it.
Yeah, Sam, assume tape.
I was on assume tape. I was at Xander's production performance of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Oh.
Yes.
Can we give away what happened? Or?
Well, I mean, it's been on Broadway for a very long time, so spoiler alert.
Oh, not a, that wasn't an actual spelling bee.
No.
It
was a performance. It was a musical on Broadway.
It's a musical.
That Xander and the rest of the kids of his school.
You said spelling bee? I think, encyclopedia.
No.
Can we use that in the form of a sentence?
No, but Xander played the character William Barthay.
Oh, fantastic.
And he does know how to spell lugubrious now because in the performance, that's what he had to do.
I just wanted to put a little action on Xander. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
Like, we were going. I didn't know it was a
nothing more degenerate than betting on what he thinks is a seventh grade spelling bee. But at any rate,
I can tell him there's 800 numbers he could call for this addiction.
I didn't think that we would devolve into this conversation while setting up our poll question of the day.
Who's going to win the script?
The Colts, man. The Colts.
They can be really good. Like, Jonathan Taylor's amazing.
They've made it back to 500. They're back to square one with seven games to go. The Colts, the Vikings can get back to square one with their seven games to go. All they have to do, though, is beat the Green Bay Packers.
That's it.
But that would that would serve multiple purposes in getting back to 500. A division win against the leader that if they somehow do put it together and the Packers somehow, some way fall apart, you know, that would be the third loss for the Packers this year, which, as you know, would tie the most losses in a season that they've had since Matt LaFleur took over there. This is a good one. I'll hit the old retweet on this one and we'll figure that one out here on this show that includes on the program former Patriot lineman and pass protector of Tom Brady for the, as you called it, Chris, first dynasty.
The first dynasty, guys.
Of the Patriots.
Makes me sick sometimes.
And well, unfortunately, basically say in the NFL, if a team wins 3 in 4 years or 3 in 5 years, that's a dynasty.
Yeah.
The Patriots, still the last team to win back-to-back championships. Brady, still the last quarterback to do that. And he's the only quarterback this year in the NFL who has the opportunity to do that this year. By the way, Bruce Arians on tomorrow's show in our third hour. And Matt Light will be here, and I will be able to ask him whether I'm out of my mind in saying that Mac Jones is running the offense currently as well as Tom Brady did in his first full year as the starter there, or his first year as the starter there. Mm-hmm. So we know it wasn't a full year. Kurt Warner went even further and said Mac's doing more than was asked of Brady. If anybody would know that, it would be Matt Light.
True.
So he's coming on this program. Kyle Brandt in hour three from Good Morning Football and 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, his podcast. He had Bill Pullman on.
Hey.
And, you know.
I wonder if he found him as delightful as
we did. Of course he did. Of course he did. Because he went all in on the Independence Day speech.
He had a little more time to.
Well, you need to have more time, but he also has the ability to just use the footage because, you know, podcasts are.
Yeah. The Wild West.
Just grip and rip, man.
Yeah. We're handcuffed.
I just don't know if they're going to hear from the makers of Independence Day because he actually used that. And also, he asked about other movie speeches and where it ranks, like the William Wallace speech from Braveheart.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Probably Pacino in Any Given Sunday.
So at any rate, Kyle's on in hour number three. And in the middle of our program, one of the greatest of all time.
Oh, you got it.
That's it. Dwayne. Exactly. That's his photo book. Available where all books are sold. It's got all sorts of beautiful photographs and wonderful photographs from Dwayne Wade's life and career and beautiful family and Hall of Fame career. And it is a memoir as well. There's some written words around the photographs. It's a terrific book. It's a beautiful book. And Dwayne Wade will be here in the middle of hour number two. Talk about it. Good times. Hashtag.
D-Wade.
When we come back, a new segment. A new segment that we've created here on the Rich Eisen Show, because why not? It's our world. Yeah. Who's telling us we can't?
Do whatever we want.
Exactly. We'll do whatever we want. Right here, it's what are we calling it?
Yeah, it's one of those things, Rich, where you know, we're going to ask, like, what's more likely?
What's more likely?
We just decided to call the segment What's More Likely.
Okay, because the sports weekend kind of begins on a Thursday when the NFL
absolutely
kicks things off, right?
Right.
For week 11. So you're going to come up with a bunch of constructs of the sports weekend that starts tonight.
Yeah,
and that
I have four big questions.
Four questions. As a Jew, I know all about four questions. Mm-hmm. That's a Passover joke that you guys did not get. All good.
Is spelling bee involved?
No, God. Can't believe you got that one stuck in your craw like that. So that's coming up here on the show. And you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Vote on our poll question. I'm going to hit that right now. Which Jekyll and Hyde team is most likely to turn it around and actually make a run? Is it the Vikings, the Browns, tonight's Falcons, or maybe the Colts?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Difference between the NBA and the NFL. There's many, right? Balls round.
Helmets.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Yeah. Here's the biggest difference between the NBA and the NFL. You ready for this one? What if the Nets, after their performance at home on Tuesday night against the Warriors, in which the Warriors spanked him, in which the Warriors had two of their best players in foul trouble, Steph Curry and Andrew Wiggins, in the third quarter, and they, in that third quarter, expanded their lead, in which Gary Payton II tried to posterize Kevin Durant, just showing, like, I don't care. We're coming to your house. I don't care.
Don't care.
Right? And in which the home crowd chanted MVP for Curry. What if the Nets didn't play in another game for an entire week? What if they just had to sit on that for a whole week? Now that's when the NBA would be like the NFL. And we would spend the entire interregnum. Yes, I use that word.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Looking that up.
Hold on.
The fortnight. Half fortnight. What? The in-between period, all right?
Just say that.
I think I used it appropriately.
A period when normal government is suspended.
Okay.
Especially between successive reigns or regimes.
I kind of used it in the right way.
Well, an interval or pause between two periods.
There you go.
So you got it.
All right. You got it.
Yes.
You got it.
Look it up.
How did you even know that was a word?
It's near lugubrious.
Big word alert.
So what if the NBA had that, you know, week-long period in between games, and we're sitting there going, when's Kyrie going to come back? Will he actually take the shot? Yes.
Stephen A.'s head would have exploded.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because Stephen A., after that game,
was like a pop.
Right, was treating it like the Cowboys had just lost.
Right. Times 10.
Because it's his job to talk about stuff, and he only knows one speed or what have you. But, like, Durant has no help. Kyrie has totally sold him a bill of goods, and he should demand to be traded. But the NBA is not the NFL. And the Nets played again last night, a day later, and got 72 points combined from Harden, Patty Mills, and LaMarcus Aldridge, who had 24 off the bench against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And guess who's sitting at the top of the Eastern Conference with an 11-5 record? Even though the Wizards are sitting atop technically because they're 10-4, they have a fewer loss, but it's like a statistical tie. Brooklyn Nets sitting right there.
Yeah, I guess that's the good part of the league. You get blown out one night, play the next night.
That's it.
And get a W and you're back on track. Yeah.
Boom, boom. And we're not talking about, there were no MVP chants, right, last night. For anybody on the Cavaliers, I imagine?
No.
Evan Mobley's hurt.
Not. Yeah, out 2 to 4 weeks.
That's a bummer,
after
right?
After losing Colin Sexton.
Correct.
Earlier in the year.
So Cleveland fans are like, Browns are just getting spanked by the Patriots. Nick Chubb's out for another game, it looks like. What's going on with Baker? And the Cavs lost last night. But do you see what I'm saying? Big difference between the NBA and the NFL. Boom.
Boom.
And the interesting thing is the NFL will basically say it's the same thing with us. It's just a game later. Honestly, that's what they're saying. It's the same thing with us.
Yeah.
But we have a week to churn it up and over and spit it out and look forward to the next one. And we're still not turning the page. But NFL players turn the page. They're watching the film and they're going to get better. And we could turn it around. Because the difference between 1 week to the next with one win is huge. Just look at the 49ers. 3-5, coming in against the Rams. Sure, they've got the Rams number, but the Rams just got spanked by the Tennessee Titans. and each have a chance to just erase it. They just can't do it the next night like the Nets just did. And then the 49ers come up with that win, and they're in a much better position sitting at 4-5, and they looked like the 49ers of 2019 as the Rams were trying to get back to 2018 by actually winning a game against the 49ers, and they haven't done that since 2018. You see what I'm saying? But the NFL players still do view it as an NBA. It's just a game later. It's just a week in between that they hear all sorts of stuff about how much they suck and it'll never turn around. And the Falcons are in that position right now to use the short week to that benefit. Erase the 40-point loss against the Cowboys right now. Miami Dolphins, right? Went one win in eight games, two wins in the next two in the span of 5 days. Problem is what happened in the first eight. But, you know, kind of pointing it out right now. I know it's make me too nuanced, and I used a word like interregnum, but this is the way I roll. Look at how I'm dressed. I put this sweater on today as I'm leaving, and I'm like, Suze, I'm like, well, how do I look? She's like, you look great. And I'm like, you know, nobody dresses like this on sports TV. Nobody.
I mean.
But it's called Brunello Cucinelli, so eat it.
Wow. No, Cucinelli.
Ooh. How about that?
Dropping some.
How about me and Brockman are wearing T-shirts.
Yeah, we're wearing T-shirts.
No,
people made.
I know. I know. I know. But you guys are wearing T-shirts that are I guess, conversation starters.
Yeah.
Mine are enders.
He just said Bruno something something something.
That okay, here we go.
Come on, baby.
Some Italian word.
Bruno Maganelli.
Is that a play, too?
Let's get to our new segment here. I like this one.
I do.
I think
I
this
like
could be a Thursday staple.
I'm in.
Or a Thursday crypto.
Ooh.
Because nice. That's what you got to do here in Los Angeles now.
I did there.
You know what I'm saying?
That was nice.
I like your style. I like your style.
Thanks, guys. No, really.
You're changing the name.
No, really. If I could drop this mic, I would.
Has Victor Brick chimed in yet?
Hear on local radio, an executive from the firm that runs Staples come on and explain why they made this move.
That
can't understand.
It's called
crypto. Like Staples is like what crypto is.
Also, the naming right actually ended in 2019. AEG just kept it going.
Oh,
and they sold the rights to crypto.com for $700 million.
I mean, that's it. And it's just like the memories at Staples aren't gone because it's no longer called Staples, which is the name of a friggin'.
Yeah, exactly. We're buying office supplies.
Office supplies.
Bill Plachke was having a meltdown on Twitter yesterday because he was so sad about the memories made at Staples.
It's crazy here, man.
I mean, what are we doing?
What is more ridiculous? People getting mad over like a stadium name change or because you just said it's not going to take away your memories, right?
No.
Or people getting upset when they remake films. Like Del Tufo many times is going, I'll go smack somebody if they remake this. It's like, why? It doesn't matter if they remake a movie. It's not going to take away that joy that you felt.
Here.
Certain movies should never be touched.
But again,
if they remake The Godfather Part 2, like if someone says, you know what, I got an idea. Let's like remake like one of the greatest movies of all time. That will be it.
What are you going to do, Mike?
Okay. I'm not going to tell you, but bad stuff's going to happen. All right, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, point being that's never going to take away the enjoyment of whatever movie
correct.
That you watched and you loved just because they remake it. Right. So who cares?
I love Michael Douglas and I love Albert Brooks, but they should never have remade The In-Laws.
Oh,
ever.
I agree.
Ever, but I still, you know, will love The In-Laws. You know what I mean? The Alan Arkin, you know, Peter Falk, gem. But we got off on the subject.
I'm sorry.
That's what we do.
Defending Your Life was on last night.
So at any rate, here we go.
Guys, there's a new segment.
It's a huge new segment. We went down a little wormhole here.
I'm sorry.
It's a new segment. It's a new segment here on the show that I think can be a staple or a crypto, right? Which is what you have to say here in Los Angeles. Nice. Thank you.
A little Bitcoin.
Thank you.
A little Bitcoin.
Here's a new segment. Called, what's it called again?
What's more likely?
What's more likely?
Hey!
We don't have a drop. Put some sort of music going on. There we go.
Well, Mike, here's the problem is that they're not all football.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But it's fine.
All right, Fraser beats, Mike.
All right, first up, guys. What's more likely? They play each other this week. What's more likely? The Bengals or Raiders make the playoffs in the AFC?
Oh.
What's more likely? Have to choose.
What's more likely? Bengals make the playoffs or Raiders make the playoffs? I'm going to go with the Bengals.
Now.
As you know, I've been a Raider. I've been a Raider guy for much of the year, but I'm going to back my play that you carped on for my four downs a few weeks ago, that my fourth down hot take is that the Bengals would be in a week 18 playoff scenario.
Right.
And you made fun of me, like, just say that they're going to make the playoffs.
Just say
I'm
gonna
not
going to
do it.
Yeah.
So they then lost a couple games in a row. This is a fascinating game that's under the radar screen. I'll go with the Bengals right now.
Oh.
You wouldn't?
I still believe in Raider Nation.
Those are my two fantasy quarterbacks, too, by the way.
So which one are you going to play this week?
I think I'm going to go with Burrow.
I would go with Burrow, too. Yeah. I would go with Burrow,
just
too. I'm genuinely.
Of what Mahomes did?
Well, you saw. Kinda, I mean, just, you saw that they. Did they pick on Jonathan Abram or what?
Yeah.
You know? And I
and Burrow had a bad game before the bye, so I feel like he might be ready to come out.
What else you got over there, Chris?
Okay, the next one, guys. What's more likely? A couple of 3-6 home dogs this week have some big games, right? Bears welcome the Ravens.
Yes.
Home dog. Seahawks welcome the Cardinals, who look like they might get Kyler Murray back. Which 3-6 home dog, who's more likely to pull the upset, Bears or Seahawks?
This is a simple one in my mind. Simple.
You watched the Ravens play last week, right?
Simple.
You watched the Ravens play last week?
Simple.
You saw them play, right?
Simple. Russ Wilson.
Massive home
Danger
dog, the Dolphins.
Russ okay. Wilson. Dangerous Wilson.
You know who's playing way better than Russell Wilson right now?
I understand.
Justin Fields.
Okay. Sure. Got it. Got it. And I know that they just got shut out in Green Bay coming off of a bye.
Sure, you're right.
This I will take the Seahawks as the more likely to upset the visiting favored team. Yeah, man. Okay. You're good at this, Chris. I like this. Well,
Here's another really good one, specifically for Two Jiggy over in the nice hat. They play each other this week.
Dallas and Kansas City.
Who's more likely to make the Super Bowl, Cowboys or Chiefs?
Cowboys
or Chiefs?
You're staring me down.
We got a
I got it. I got it. I got it.
Or Chiefs.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
Say it with your
chest. The team more likely to make the Super Bowl that's playing in Arrowhead this weekend.
I know what you're going to say.
Is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh.
Here's why.
Because the Bucks are in my division.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Thank you. Because, yes, the NFC is a tougher road to the Super Bowl than it is in the AFC. Yes.
Okay.
It is.
Accept that.
That you in Dallas might have to go to Green Bay, go to Tampa Bay, go to Arizona, which, as you know, has had your number last couple times. And is a crazy ass place to play. Yeah, man.
I mean, look.
And that cavern, the Jones Mahal cavern, doesn't seem to have, for some reason, that lair aspect to it for the playoffs. But we haven't seen too many playoff games there anyway.
That's a backhanded compliment.
No, I'm just saying, Kansas City.
They've been there and we have
Kansas City looking up, right? Looking up is looking up at the Titans and looking up at the Ravens and then the Patriots, you know, and the Bills.
The Bills, yeah. Can't
yeah, the Bills they're looking up at. And they're not, I don't think they're too concerned about any of those teams right now. And if they have to face them in January, it'll be just like, yeah, we've been there before. How about you? That's why I'm going there. And the Patriots could be in front, too. At some point of them. That's the one I think they don't want to see. I'm telling everybody, nobody wants to see that team on a 1 week with Belichick's like going to just game plan for you, and he's got a kid who might not blink and make a mistake.
Yeah, but you know Mahomes won't blink.
I'm not saying he's going to blink.
You don't know if Mac's going to blink.
No, of course, I understand that, but that's my reasoning. I'm not trying to carp on you. I'm not trying to say you have no shot. Of course you do.
Look, I would have said,
but if I had to choose who's got an easier path.
Yeah, I would have said Dallas just because that's what expected. But, like, yeah, you're absolutely right. The Chiefs have been there, and we haven't.
By the way, like, 2 weeks ago, is that game on Fox or CBS? Is that a Fox game? Let me see it. I've got it right here. That game is on Fox. So 2 weeks ago, the Fox executives, you know, who are focusing on the big and the little there, and you were on little the other night, right, Mike?
I'm on big next week.
Great. Why not? So those executives who are focusing on big and little Fox and all that. 2 weeks ago, like Dak is, you know, coming off the calf, and then we saw what happened against Denver, and then we're seeing Mahomes kind of struggle coming off of the game against the Giants and then have trouble beating Green Bay and Jordan Love, right? And they're sitting there. It's Dallas versus Kansas City. It'll be big, but, you know, let's see how they both come off of sterling performances. That game is going to be fantastic.
I hope.
I cannot wait for that. I'm sure it'll be Buck and Aikman in Arrowhead. You got one more over there?
Last one. Let's go to the association real quick. They played each other last night. Giannis, monster game, 47. LeBron missed his eighth straight. Lakers, 8-8. They're the eighth seed in the West. The Bucks, 7-8. Currently on the outside looking in, if the playoffs started today, of the play-in game. What's more likely? Bucks get it going in the right direction or Lakers?
Why can't I say both? I'm not allowed to say both.
Can't say both. That's
what's
not the name of the game.
Likely?
The name of the game is not what's more likely or both. It's what's more likely.
I'll go Lakers. I'll go Lakers. Lakers.
That's the wrong answer.
Why is that the wrong answer?
It's just
LeBron's what, 50-50 to play the next game?
Just trust me on this. The Bucks will get it going. Who are you gonna trust, Rich? You gonna trust, how do I want to word this? The old guy that's missed most of the season, or a guy who's gonna be on the Mount Rushmore with the old guy?
Yeah, the old guy is also on the team with Anthony Davis, right?
Who might be the softest big man in the league.
Wow.
LeBron's out. Okay, you have a chance to make a statement in a pretty big road game. 18 points, 6 boards.
Let me ask you this question.
That's soft.
How about this? What's more likely? Here's a little reverse for you. What's more likely?
Oh, I like it.
Your team is facing this team.
Lakers?
This weekend.
Blowout.
Celtics are going to blow out the Lakers. Is that what you're telling me?
I think they win the
game. Time Lords out.
Celtics win the game.
Al Horford's going to be the guy who's going to be going. Is it soft on soft? Is that what it is? Like, we should get that Kobe meme of soft, you know, like soft.
Like Charmin.
You know what I mean?
Everyone's like Charmin.
So, really? Blowout.
Yeah, Tatum's starting to really get it together, even though they lost last night.
Your Celtics, these Lakers,
Celtics
that you say
are disappointing so far.
I'll take the Lakers. This is good. What's more likely? Well, but a lot of these are going to be down the road. You're going down the road.
I did it down the road, but also it was related because they're playing each other.
Plus, it's a new segment.
New segment.
Well done,
new
Chris
segment.
Brockman. New segment.
Hey.
Well done.
8 innings.
You think the Cowboys have a better shot to go to the Super Bowl than the Chiefs, right? Obviously, DJ.
No. Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Oh, I do.
I mean, look, if we're sitting here and we talk and I'm the Cowboy fan and I'm going to say this to you, but if I'm going to be realistic with you, what I just said is true. Like, we haven't been there. Like, the Chiefs know about what it takes to get to the Super Bowl and to win the Super Bowl. So if you're going to ask me if I get to do what Brockman says and you say put down hard-earned American cash, then if I'm going to have to make a bet, I'd have to probably bet on the Chiefs at this point.
Can we revisit this on Monday when the Cowboys win in Arrowhead?
Well, that's fine. And then I'll be like, great, we won. Like, you know, but
I'll tell you what, the one guy, we've got a couple more days to talk about it, but the one guy who's proven to be the big difference maker and can be in that game. Should I do this after the break? How's that?
Yeah, let's
after the break.
Okay, let's do that after the break. Right here on the Rich
Eisen. It's called a tease.
Because Chiefs Cowboys, I mean, let's start beating that drum right now like it's an arrowhead. You know what I'm saying? We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. Give us a call.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Terrestrial radio. I'm talking to my guy, Mike Del Tufo, who came. You came in yesterday with a Seton Hall hat.
I was excited. It was amazing.
It's a great win for November 2021. You're going into Ann Arbor. These kids are just starting the season. It's great. Like, you know, if we faced one another again in March, might be a totally different story. But you got us in November. The us being Michigan, I know I didn't suit up for him that night.
We're not going to play
you
again.
But there's no, like, honestly, it doesn't, it's, I don't know why this upsets me because I do have, it's not great to lose, but I do have the cushion of one of the greatest sports days of my life because I was a college kid.
Yeah, you were part of it. The only drawback
is I drew the short straw at the Michigan Daily, the student publication, the Michigan Daily. I drew the short straw out of all the assistant or, you know, associate sports editors that night to have to close the paper. Like I was in that was back in the day where there was an actual printing press in the basement of the Michigan Daily, and I had to proofread the copy and make sure when it came off of the printing press that, okay, now run the paper. Like, that was my job. So I treated it seriously. I didn't get hammered, but I did, you know, drink with my fraternity brothers watching the game. But as everybody ran to the center of campus to celebrate, I was a salmon swimming upstream going in the wrong direction to go close the paper. But it still was one of the greatest moments and runs of my entire sporting life because Michigan had a championship team and Bill Frieder said, I'm going to leave for Arizona State, you know. And that was also 2 years after Arizona State had beaten Michigan and Bo in the Rose Bowl, which is still the greatest Michigan Rose Bowl loss ever because Ohio State said, let's go and get somebody who can beat Michigan. Let's get Arizona State's head coach. And that was John Cooper, who we beat like a drum. And I always try to let all of my Ohio State friends know that even though this is an unprecedented run that they're on, it's all cyclical. It won't last forever. Because that one, Michigan against John Cooper, felt like it would. I can't tell you. I can't tell you that then their assistant gets on there and they go on that run. They won six in a row in a tournament. Glenn Rice is incredible, but this November win for you ranks up there in the same way that I've just described.
In the mixing world, with the game on top of it, like Super Bowl 36 to me, I wasn't a Patriots fan. I wasn't a Rams fan then. But like now, at the same time,
you two did the halftime.
My favorite band. Yeah. It was the first Super Bowl that I'm in charge of the pregame, the halftime, and the postgame. It's one of those. Last Tuesday night was like that for me. You know, it was weird. It kind of felt like one of those moments where you're not going to get a chance. Like I don't get a lot of chances like that.
You guys are not going to chime in on this. You're just going to let me.
Brockman, I think,
here?
Agrees with me. It's like because he.
It seems like
a Seton Hall Michigan.
That's the thing.
It's
like if as long as Mike thinks it's cool, it's cool. I don't know why you're trying to take away what he feels is cool.
Rich is saying in the game
I'm not trying to take away that it's cool.
I get what Rich is saying.
I totally get it.
Rich is saying we beat him in November. It's no big deal.
Yeah, and he comes in with a hat. But you know, and you just look at his, do you see his tweets and his Instagram? Hey, you know, like, I got a text from him of him pointing to the final score.
That was
on
a group thing. We were all on that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You know what I mean? Like, so
I mean, I can think that
I can handle
stuff
that?
Is lame, but like.
Oh, I'm,
thank you, bro.
But I'm saying the same thing.
And he's also like, it makes him happy. I'm through like judging what makes other people happy.
Oh, really? Ooh. Mister, don't put a jersey with your own, you know.
Again, I can
don't
think,
customize
I can,
a jersey. That's what
I
that guy
think
is.
It's lame, but I'm not going to like
make a whole like segment on a national radio TV
exactly.
show about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, for me, it was big because I lived through the 89.
Right.
And
I'm not saying why it's not big for you, but you cannot, when it comes down to it,
the game's
say that you use the word
mixing.
Redemption. It's but not redemption. It's no redeeming.
Well, it is for me in a little way. Because we
that
beat
one
a number,
time,
we beat a top like five ranked team right now.
Okay.
That's a big win.
Now, I would say I could kind of understand it if you knocked Michigan out of the NCAA tournament. If the tournament gods, and of course, by that I mean those who sit in that room with their coffee breath and their BO and come up with the actual schedule and the brackets, right? To use, by the way, a midnight run phrase.
Yes.
You know, that if, you know, it turned out to be a Michigan versus Seton Hall matchup, and you knocked us out of a tournament game, that would be in the realm of redemption because you ended our season.
That might go to number
this
one.
This has nothing to do with your mixing it.
Yes,
I'm
it
saying,
does. I know what you're saying.
I'm removing that. You used the word redemption.
It is a little bit of redemption because that's what many people said. Because
and I'm
the
saying
last time we played you guys, we played you twice, we lost.
And I don't understand you, Chris. I'm going to draw you into this thing. Is like if
well,
this
I want
was,
no part of this.
No, like honestly, like what if I had told you? What if I tell you? You know, if Michigan ever had beat if Syracuse had ever beaten Michigan in a big, you know, and final. Right.
Yeah, we lost you guys in the Final Four in 2013.
Right. But it had it been the other way around in the final game, and then we go into the Carrier Dome in November and beat you, and I start texting you photographs of me pointing to the final score like, how would you, like, you'd be like, what's your malfunction?
I have a great example.
Right?
Yeah, I think you're a loser.
I have a great example.
That's what I'm saying.
I got a great example.
See, but when it's your team, now you're like, yeah, you're a loser, but... Your first thought wouldn't be like, why are you raining on his
parade? I got a great example.
You'd be like, what's your malfunction?
Atlanta loses to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Sarah eats crow and like, she okay, we lost.
Right, yeah.
All of a sudden, the Atlanta
tonight,
beats the Patriots.
Tonight. Yeah. And then she's just like, but Sarah knows it's not even in the same world.
You don't
like,
in football,
like it might be in a different universe week 11 a Thursday
the team
night game.
That beat
so
you,
what?
You just, it takes you to.
Mike, you lost me on all your social media stuff when you started using divine intervention. Like God had a plan.
I'm going to sit here. I didn't address this yesterday because we were talking about stuff at the top of the show, like the Warriors winning or what have you. But I had to a day later bring this up because it's out of control.